Faith Publication presents the story of one man who stood in the face of oppression and tyranny. The story of one man, one scholar, one imam.
Mu'tasim came in to his court and he sat on his chair and he took off his shoes and he put one leg over the other and he told the guards, "Uhduru Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Bring Ahmad ibn Hanbal in front of me."
He said that I was in shackles and the shackles were heavier than my
own. And Imam Ahmad was struggling with his chains. He could hardly walk.
He said, "Innaka ra'sa an-nas al-yawm. Today, you are the leader of all the people."
This is the story of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, presented to you by Sheikh Safi Khan in a series titled Profiles of Courage.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرًا ونذيرًا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئًا أما بعد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is right. Brothers and sisters, we've talked about the issue of oppression so much and so often because it's around us. And in the midst of oppression, it is crucial, it is critical for us to remember whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and how we can connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the power of dua. The situation may seem bleak, but with dua, there's hope. About 1200 years ago, a little bit more than 1200 years ago, there was a powerful event that happened in the history of mankind. In the history of this ummah, and the history of mankind. This event pitted a very powerful tyrant who had all the means of torture and persecution at his disposal, pitted against a weak-bodied man who had a heart that was a mountain of faith, mountain of iman. It was an event that left a picture, a clear picture of how faith triumphs over falsehood. How iman dispels injustice. How taqwa trashes tyranny. And how patience outlasts the plots and the schemes of the enemy. It was an event where there was a strong-willed believer who stood up against an institution, a system that was out to silence him. And despite the threats, the persecution, the assassinations, and all the various techniques that those hostile to Islam use, he stood up strong. This is the story of a man who stood up tall when others around him crumbled into compromise and capitulation. It's the story of a young man who memorized the Quran before he turned 10. It's the story of a man who was a virtual human computer. Part of the storage in his computer brain were 1 million hadith that he had memorized. It was a man who regularly saw Al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his dream at night. In his dreams at night, he would regularly see Al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And on the nights he would not see him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would knock himself for being a hypocrite. The name of this giant in this ummah is Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Brothers and sisters, at the time of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, a band of Muslims known as the Mu'tazila had begun to have some strange ideas, strange views about the Quran. Something that no one else among our pious predecessors ever had before. And the Mu'tazila were famous for using their mind to rationalize and reason out everything. Everything had to make sense to their brain. If it made sense, then they would believe it. If it didn't make sense, then they would say, forget it, we don't believe it. Of course, it sounds familiar to many people today. So, because of rationalizing everything, they came to a conclusion of not believing in some of the, or many of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like most of us believe, like a normal Muslim would believe. We believe in all the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as given to us in the Quran and the Sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Mu'tazila did not believe in these names, in these attributes. And then what happened is that to many of us, this may appear like a minor issue. We may think, oh well, what's the big deal? You know, there's a lot more important things happening. Well, actually it's a pretty major issue. Because the thing is that if they denied certain names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that meant that they were denying something that was in the Quran and the Sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because it did not make sense to their mind. They could not rationalize it, they could not reason it out. In other words, what they were doing is they were doing something totally opposite to the spirit of Islam, which is to put mind before the message, which is to put reason before revelation, is to put, as we say in the Islamic terminology, to put the aql before the naql. Of course, in Islam, revelation comes first. We use our mind to understand the revelation and to reason and to understand, not to undermine the revelation. So the way that the Mu'tazila looked at this issue was that, in particular in one issue, they did not believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can speak. Because their line of reasoning, which was totally flawed, their line of reasoning was that look, speaking is something that human beings do. So since human beings speak, and we know already that nothing is like Allah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, there's nothing like Allah, so therefore, since human beings speak, and nothing is like Allah, so Allah does not speak. This is their line of reasoning. Because only human beings speak. So Allah cannot speak. And therefore, the Quran is not Allah's speech, but is something that Allah created. Now, as I said again, to many of us it may seem something minor. But the major issue here is that they're using their mind, their reason before the revelation. So on the surface, it may appear, well, it's not such a big deal, it's okay. But when you understand that somebody is worshipping their mind, and somebody is putting their mind ahead of the message, and the reason before the revelation, and the aql before the naql, then you understand that there's something very wrong with this type of reasoning. And the correct Muslim belief is that we believe in all the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as has been documented in the Qur'an and the sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anything beyond that, outside of the scope of the Qur'an and the sunnah, we don't believe in. As Muslims, we believe that if Allah speaks, yes, indeed He speaks. But His speech is not like our speech. But He does speak. If Allah sees, and Allah does see, His sight is not like our sight. If Allah, and Allah hears, when Allah hears, His hearing is not like our hearing. When Allah has hands, they're not like like our hands. If Allah has fingers, which He does, Allah's fingers are not like our fingers. Allah has a face, but His face is not like our face, but He does have a face. He does have fingers, He does have hands. So, now, these people, the Mu'tazila, they said, forget it. This doesn't make sense. How can it be possible? You're making Allah look like human beings. It's not possible. And they said, forget it. We don't believe in this, and this is nonsense. So, this line of reasoning, this mode of thought, began to gradually take hold of many of the regular everyday Muslim. They began to broadcast this, and they began to talk about this all over the place. And so many Muslims who did not know much about the Qur'an and the Sunnah, they began to buy into this. To such a degree that it began to have an impact on the leadership of the Ummah. The Amir al-Mu'mineen. At that time, the Khalifa, whose name was Ma'mun. And Ma'mun, mind you, he was no pushover. He was very knowledgeable about the Qur'an and the Sunnah. And he knew a lot of fiqh, and he was well read. He was very prolific in his Arabic. So he was no pushover. So it affected him also. And he began to believe in this way of thinking, that the Qur'an was created. It was not the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how he began to believe. Of course, it's a wrong belief. But he began to believe like this. And the problem that happened is, not only did he begin to believe that, and he believed it, but he began to persecute all those people who did not hold his view. He began to kill them, he began to murder them, began to imprison them, began to persecute them. So, in this process, there were many scholars who succumbed to the pressure and the threats of persecution. And they gave in. But there was those who stood strong. And among those people who stood strong and said, no, the Qur'an is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kalamullah, and the Qur'an is what Allah spoke, it is not created, it is uncreated. Those who stood up for the official Islamic position, the right Islamic position, they were beaten, they were whipped, they were starved, they were imprisoned, or shall I say caged. They were blindfolded, they were shackled. They were tortured, physically and psychologically. And they were killed and assassinated. You see, the Khalifa at that time, Ma'mun, he sent orders from Syria to Baghdad, to his chief of police, whose name was Ishaq ibn Ibrahim. And he sent him some directives that go ahead and interrogate all these people, and especially the scholars who don't believe in the way that I'm saying things, that the Qur'an was created. Begin to interrogate them. So, Ishaq ibn Ibrahim immediately began the interrogations, began to call up the ulama, the scholars, and began to talk to them. What do you think about what the Amir al-Mu'mineen is saying? What do you think? What do you think? Is the Qur'an created? Is it not created? And so on. And many of the scholars, they began to crumble. They began to give up, and they began to say that yes, there were three groups of scholars. Some said yes, the Quran is created. Another group of scholars, they tried to take what they thought was the middle path, and they said that look, the Quran is not created, however if the Amir tells us, then we'll say it's created. And the last group, which were very few, a handful, they said no, the Quran is not created, it is the word of Allah uncreated. So, as Ishaq ibn Ibrahim began interrogating the scholars, now came the turn of the giant of this ummah, one of the giants of this ummah, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He summoned Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and began asking him. And he said to him, ما تقول في القرآن, he said. Well, what do you have to say about the Quran? So, Imam Ahmad said, هُوَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. This is the word of Allah. This is the speech of Allah. And so, Ishaq ibn Ibrahim, he said, أَمَخْلُوقٌ هُوَ. Is this Quran created? Imam Ahmad said, هُوَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. لَا أَزِيدُ عَلَيْهِ. It's the word of Allah, and I'm not going to say anything more. This is the courage of the believer. Fears no one but Allah. And so, he said, Ishaq ibn Ibrahim, the police chief, he says, what do you have to say about this, what the Amir al-Mu'mineen is saying? The statement that he made, and the statement that Ma'mun made, he said, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله لا يشبهه شيء لا في وجه من الوجوه وفي معنى من المعاني. He said, what do you have to say about this statement? The translation of that statement is that Ma'mun, he said, I bear witness that there's no one who deserves to be worshipped but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and that nothing is like him in any way or in any meaning. Nothing is like Allah. Because he thought Ma'mun was trying to trap the scholars, because the minute they would say that Allah speaks, they would say, okay, this is like a human being, so they're making something like Allah, so you have to kill them. So, Ishaq said, what do you have to say about this statement? Imam Ahmad said, أَقُولُ كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهِ. He said, I say like Allah says, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. He quoted a part of a verse from the Quran, and he said, there's nothing like Allah, and He is the most hearing and the most seeing. So, one of the people who was sitting there, one of the other police officers who was sitting there, he said, you know what he means by this, what he's saying? He's saying that Allah hears through an ear like our ear, and Allah sees like through eyes like our eyes. So, Ishaq turned to Imam Ahmad and said, what do you mean by وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ? What do you mean when Allah says that He is the most hearing and the most seeing? What do you mean by this? So Imam Ahmad said, هُوَ كَمَا وَصَفَ نَفْسَهُ, that Allah is like He's described Himself. That's exactly what we say. Like exactly how He's described Himself and how He's told us about Himself, that's what we say. So he said, but how? How is Allah like this? How? I mean, he's trying to get Imam Ahmad to speak more than what's necessary. So Imam Ahmad said that we believe in whatever Allah has specified and whatever Allah has established in the Quran, and whatever His Prophet ﷺ established in the Sunnah, this is what we believe in. So, he saw automatically that he could not break Imam Ahmad. So he turned and he went back to his office, and he wrote his report to Ma'mun. After 9 days, the leader, the Amir al-Mu'mineen's reply came back. And needless to say, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ma'mun, he was very upset. He was livid. And he began accusing the believers, like these scholars, like Imam Ahmad, of being kafirs, of innovation, of committing shirk, of being hypocrites. And he began calling them all sorts of names. And at the same time, he sent a threat for all these scholars who are standing up to the truth. And he said that, look, they better retract their views, and they better drop their position, and they be given an opportunity to do tawbah, to repent. And if they don't, then all of them should be gathered, all of them should be imprisoned, and all of them should be brought to me, and I'll deal with them. And so the same message went out for Imam Ahmad. And soon, all the scholars, all the ulama, who stood up for what was right, that the Quran is the speech of Allah, they were rounded up, they were shackled, they were taken to prison, and they were marched to Syria. From Baghdad, they were marched to Syria, to the court of Ma'mun. And this fitna, this trouble began to spread all over the Muslim world. And scholars from Egypt and from the Hijaz, and from what we know now in Saudi Arabia, and all over the Muslim lands, anybody who said that the Quran is a speech of Allah, they began to be arrested, and they began to be taken in, and they began to be tortured and persecuted, and they were brought to the court of Ma'mun. In Baghdad, in those days, this is roughly around the year 218, after the Hijrah. In Baghdad, there were roughly 26 scholars who had held pretty strong. But after torture and persecution and so on, 17 of them, they gave in. And so this left about 9 of them. Out of the 9, 7 of them were tortured so bad that they eventually were killed or they passed away under torture. 2 of them remained. Those 2 were Imam Ahmad and his student Muhammad ibn Nuh, rahimahumullah. Imam Ahmad relates that now these 2 were taken from Baghdad to Syria. On the way to Syria, he says that we made various stops along the way for rest. He said that I was in shackles, and the shackles were heavier than my own body. And we were dragging ourselves, you know, walking, and sometimes we were put on these mules going towards the Khalifa in Syria. He says, on the way we stopped at this one place. And when we stopped at this one place, there was a man who came to both of us, meaning himself and his student, Muhammad ibn Nuh. And he said, Ayyukum Ahmad ibn Hanbal. This was a man who came from the desert, a regular everyday Muslim. And so he said, who of you is Ahmad ibn Hanbal? So the people who were there, the guards and Muhammad ibn Nuh, they pointed to Imam Ahmad and said, this is the person. So the person looked into his eyes and he said, Assalamu alaikum. Ya Imam, he said, إِنَّكَ وَافِدُ النَّاسِ فَلَا تَكُنْ شُؤْمًا عَلَيْهِمْ. He said, O Imam, look, you are the ambassador or the envoy of the people. And so don't become bad news for them. Don't become a calamity for the people. In other words, what he was telling him, stand up strong. He said, إِنَّكَ رَأْسَ النَّاسِ الْيَوْمِ. Today, you are the leader of all the people. He said to Imam Ahmad, فَإِيَّاكَ أَن تُجِيبَهُمْ إِلَى مَا يَدْعُونَكَ إِلَيْهِ فَيُجِيبُ النَّاسِ فَتَحْمِلُ أَوْزَارَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He said, don't you dare acquiesce or respond to what they're calling you to do. Don't you dare agree to them, because then all the masses of Muslims, they will also begin to agree. All of us are looking up to you. So don't you dare give in. Otherwise everybody else will give in, and then you will carry their sins on the day of judgment. Because you slipped, so everyone else is going to slip. So, and then he went on and he said, إِن كُنْتَ تُحِبُّ اللَّهِ. If you really love Allah, فَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِ.
Be patient in the situation that you find yourself in.
فَإِنَّهُ مَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا أَنْ تُقْتَلْ. فَإِنَّهُ مَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا أَنْ تُقْتَلْ.
He said, because, listen, the only thing that stands between you and paradise is for you to be killed, for you to be executed.
وَإِن لَمْ تُقْتَلْ تَمُتْ.
And if you are not assassinated, if you're not executed, then you're gonna eventually die.
وَإِن عِشْتْ.
And if you happen to survive, if you happen to live,
عِشْتْ حَمِيدًا.
You live a very praiseworthy, a very honorable life. People will all praise you. Imam Ahmad says, when he heard this person speak, right after he spoke, he said, "Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh," and he left. He turned around and left, went back into the desert. So Imam Ahmad began asking, who was this person? And it was told to him that this was a Bedouin who had come out of the desert, but he was also a poet. And his name was Jabir ibn Amir. And so Imam Ahmad says that what this person said helped me to increase my determination and made me ever more determined to refuse to capitulate to what they were calling me to refuse to do what they were telling me to do. It made me that much stronger. Brothers and sisters, a few words here and there by someone can have a powerful impact in our lives. Brothers and sisters, this man came and he was trying to strengthen Imam Ahmad, trying to give him some strength, trying to tell him to hold strong. And today, brothers and sisters, the same message goes out to all of you, to hold strong in the midst of all the problems, in the midst of all the oppression, to hold strong. To hold very, very strong, because paradise is very near. And not to give up the things that you're doing as far as being a Muslim. To hold on and keep practicing your Islam and become ever more stronger. The more the oppression increases, the stronger you get in your Islam. This is what the man was telling him. That look, you today are the leader. You today represent the truth. And in the same way, all of you who participate regularly in the masjid, you today represent the truth. And there's a lot of people who are looking at you to see how you're gonna do when it comes to the truth. Those of you who have various ayat of the Quran memorized, those of you who have some Islamic knowledge, those of you who have been fortunate to memorize the Quran, those of you who are going to an Islamic school, all of those things, other people outside are looking at you to see how you are going to fare under this pressure. Are you going to hold strong? Because they're looking to you to be inspired, whether you know it or not. And if you give up, they're going to give up. Imam Ahmad later on, one of the famous statements that he made, and we'll talk about it later, he said, as he was being tortured, they were telling him to give up a little bit, and to go easy, and to compromise. And he said, "Zallatul alim, zallatul alam." He said, look, the fall of the scholar means the fall of the community. Means the fall of the people. If I slip, the community will slip. That was his point. So brothers and sisters, today is an important opportunity for us to stand strong in what we believe in, like Imam Ahmad stood strong at that time. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم صل وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Brothers and sisters, you know, after they made this stop, they renewed their journey on the way to Syria. And as they got near the palace of the Khalifa, right outside the palace, hardly a few yards away, there was another stop, the last stop that they made to take, just to gather everything and to rest just for a little bit before proceeding into the palace. As they were sitting there, Imam Ahmad and Muhammad ibn Nuh and all the huge number of guards all around them, and they were shackled, Imam Ahmad says that one of the servants of the Khalifa, Ma'mun, came rushing out to Imam Ahmad and said, يَعِزُّ عَلَيَّ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ. He said, look, Abu Abdullah was, you know, was his kunya, and one of his, you can say, surnames. And he said that, look, this is very difficult for me to see you in this position. I can't bear it. And he was crying. He was crying and crying and sobbing. He was wiping his tears away with his sleeve. And so Imam Ahmad, although he was shackled, he grabbed him on one arm and he tried to lift him up as if to give him strength. And so the man said, إِنَّ الْمَأْمُونَ سَلَّ سَيْفًا. Ma'mun has taken out his sword. لَمْ يَسُلَّهُ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ. He has taken out his sword in a way that he's never done before. In other words, he's very serious this time. وَإِنَّهُ لَيُقْسِمُ بِقَرَابَتِهِ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And he swears that what he's doing is right, and he swears because of his closeness to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because you see, Ma'mun came from a family of the Abbasis, and they were related to one of the uncles of a Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abbas. So there's where the connection is. So he said that he is swearing by his closeness, by being part of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. La illam tujibhu ila al-qawl bi khalq al-Qur'an la yaqtulannaka bi dhalika as-sayf. He said that if you don't respond and come out and say that the Quran was created, he's going to kill you for sure this time with his sword. Imam Ahmad, he heard what was said, he smiled, and he acknowledged that he understood what was coming. And the servant left and went back to the palace. Imam Ahmad got up to make two rak'ahs. As he got up to pray, he began the salah, and in the salah, he began making dua in the sajda and so on. At the very end of the salah, he prayed a qunut, and before coming into the last sajda, the second rak'ah, he raised up his hands in the air and he said, and he made a dua. He said, Ya Allah, قَدْ غَرَّ حِلْمُكَ هَذَا الْفَاجِرِ. He said, oh Allah, oh Allah, your clemency, meaning that you've let him, this person go for so long, your clemency has made this rebellious person, this sinner, this evil sinner, so proud, so arrogant. Meaning that because you haven't punished him, O Allah, this person has become so arrogant. So your clemency, your letting him go for this time, has made this person very arrogant. حَتَّى تَجَرَّ عَلَىٰ أُولَٰئِكَ. And he has become so bold and daring that he has now begun to transgress all bounds against these people, meaning the scholars, بِالضَّرْبِ وَالْقَتْلِ, by whipping them and beating them and by killing them. He's gone beyond all bounds. And then he said, اللهم, O Allah, فَإِنْ كَانَ الْقُرْآنِ كَلَامَكْ غَيْرَ مَخْلُوقِ فَكْفِنَا مَؤُونَتَهُ. In another narration, فَكْفِنَا شَرَّحُ. He said that, oh Allah, if this Qur'an is your speech, uncreated, then take all his evil
and all the troubles of this person, take it away from us. And with that, he went into sajda and he was coming to the end of his salah. After he said the salams, he sat back, reflecting. He had hardly finished his salah when they heard loud noises from outside. Loud, like shouts and shrieks from inside the palace. And from outside the palace, there was people wailing. And so the prisoners, Imam Ahmad and Muhammad ibn Nuh, they asked, what happened? Why all this noise? Why all these people shrieking and shouting and people wailing? And then what was told to them was that Ma'mun just died. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Talk about connections. Talk about knowing someone powerful. Talking about having contacts in high places. Subhanallah. No sooner had Imam Ahmad made his dua and ended his salah, completed his salah, that the orders from atop the seven heavens, from atop the throne came, and the angel of death descended and plucked out the soul of Ma'mun, and the rest is history. Brothers and sisters, this was iman. This was faith in action. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا يَنصُرُ اللَّهُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بِضَعِيفِهَا. Surely Allah will make this ummah victorious by the virtue of its weak. What are the nuclear weapons they have? بِدَعْوَتِهِمْ وَصَلَاتِهِمْ وَإِخْلَاصِهِمْ. By virtue of their du'as, by virtue of their salah, and by virtue of their ikhlas, their sincerity of commitment to Allah. These are the weapons they possess. Dua, salah, and sincerity. Brothers and sisters, to some, our situation may appear bleak. It appears that many of our hopes are dashed when people are in our ummah are assassinated or imprisoned. It may seem that many of our dreams are shattered. And sometimes it may appear that the horizons of justice are clouded by the overcast skies of injustice and by the tornadoes of tyranny and the smoke of oppression. But know one thing and one thing alone, that the sun of iman and taqwa is about ready to break forth and dispel the darkness of falsehood with the light of the truth. Brothers and sisters, perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us in these situations so we will turn to no one and no one but Allah, and so that we have no choice but to say at the end of the day, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, I need your help, oh Allah, Ya Allah. And to yell and to have our souls yearn with this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never underestimate the power of dua. Never underestimate the power of dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ وَيَجْعَلُكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْضِ أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. أَمَّنْ يَهْدِيكُمْ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. That who is there besides Allah who answers to the dua of the one who's oppressed when they make the dua? In other words, no one but Allah. And who is there but Allah to take away the evil that is there and to make you all His representatives on this earth, the representatives of this deen on this earth, and to give you authority? أَإِلَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Is there anyone but Allah who deserves to be worshipped? قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. But very few of you remember. Very few of you think and reflect on this. Never underestimate the power of the dua. Brothers and sisters, many of us don't realize, or perhaps most of us don't realize, that you, as Muslims, possess the most powerful and the most potent weapon available to any human being. It is more powerful than the bullet and the missile and the bomb. It's called dua. Dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّ لَنَنْصُرُ رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. We will make our prophets, our messengers, and those who believe victorious in this world, in the life of this world. كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرًا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. That how, haven't you seen how many small groups of people overcame a huge amount of people by the permission of Allah, and Allah surely is with those people who are patient. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. Allah has decreed that He will come with the victory and His prophets. Surely Allah is most powerful and most mighty. وَلَيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرَهُ. Allah will surely help those who help His cause. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. Surely Allah is the most powerful and the most mighty. This is what Allah is telling you. إِنْ يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If Allah was to help you, no one can overcome you. No one can defeat you. No one can overwhelm you. If you have Allah's help, and you will get it through dua. So in conclusion, brothers and sisters, I remind you, indeed, the times are tough. But you must stand strong. You must refuse to buckle under the pressure of oppression. Hold on to the hijab and don't take it off. Hold on to your marriages and don't go apart from each other. Come more to the masjid, associate more with the Muslims, give more, volunteer more for the sake of Allah. Be patient. Sacrifice. Be caring for each other. Bear with each other's weaknesses and shortcomings for the sake of Allah. Imam Ahmad did. He stood strong. And his story is not over. We will talk more about him in the future. But he stood strong. And he was advised that the people are looking at him, so be strong. Similarly, you have a responsibility today to be strong and hold on and be steadfast. And don't give in and don't give up. إِنَّمَا يَنْصُرُ اللَّهُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بِضَعِيفِهَا. Surely Allah will make this ummah victorious by the virtue of its weak. بِضَعِيفِهَا. By the virtue of their du'as, بِدَعْوَتِهِمْ. And by virtue of their prayers, وَصَلَاتِهِمْ. And by virtue of their sincerity, وَإِخْلَاصِهِمْ. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.